Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.
Hello once again, and welcome to Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you know what time it is. This is the FSP Crew Show time. I am your host, JT, and I'm joined by my co-host, Jeff the Joker, and as always, we engage in conversation and give you information about the crazy world, the wacky world, and sometimes the unexplainable world of fantasy, sports, and politics. We got a good, great show in store for you tonight. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to Jeff and me. Also have a chat room open. The chat room is manned by me and Jeff. So if you want to put a comment, a question, or statement in that chat room, feel free to do so. It's for your pleasure and your pleasure only. Without further ado, let's bring in my other co-host, who is also from Jersey, just like myself, Jeff the Joker. Welcome in, my man.
Hey, forget about it. What's up?
My man. We Jersey boys in the house today, man, all by himself so far. Black's not here. Vic, I think he said he may call him, but who knows? Jersey boys can hold it down anyway. You know how it is.
Yeah.
All right. You know, the first thing on the agenda, we're going to be talking about some NBA, Jeff. And in particular, I don't know if you watched yesterday, but I got to give a big shout-out to Franco Vogel, who happens to be the head coach of the Indiana Pacers. And I got two things to say to him before we talk. And I also got this to say to him, and I know a lot of Indiana Pacers fans feel the same way.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
And the reason is, with 2.2 seconds left in the game, or just before 2.2, about 3 seconds left in the game, Paul George hits a shot that puts the Indiana Pacers up by a point in Miami, game one. So they're winning the game 102-101. Okay? And what happens next? A timeout's called. Miami sets up for their play. And when Miami comes out, they set the defense for Indiana. Indiana calls a timeout, reestablishes what they want to do. And who is the missing piece that doesn't come back on the floor or is not on the floor when two teams come back on the floor with 2.2 seconds left in the game? Roy Hibbert, the center, one of the better defensive centers in the league, and they can be a force, in, especially if you look at the 2.2 seconds that happened. Paul George is guarding LeBron James. LeBron James gets the inbound pass. The clock is ticking. Paul George overplays LeBron James, and what does LeBron James do? What he always does and what he likes to do most, drives to the basket and gets an uncontested layup. No time on the clock. Miami wins the game 103-102. Good job, Frank Vogel. Jeff, your comments.
I got to admit, I kind of lost some of my interest in the NBA playoffs after the Knicks got knocked out.
Right.
Vogel's a New Yorker, too. I don't know what he was thinking. I mean, Hibbert has his inconsistencies on offense, but he can play D. And, I mean, that whole Indiana team defends the paint and the rim very well. It doesn't quite make sense. And you know what's bizarre? It seems like this past week, more fans are talking about an injured Kobe Bryant and a retired Phil Jackson than the playoffs. I mean, right?
Right.
Doesn't it seem like that? But, you know, these
right.
are the well-established big names, and those are the two guys everybody's talking about.
Yeah. Well, we do have our esteemed co-host making a surprise. I shouldn't say surprise visit, but he's making a visit. Hello, Black, my man.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, Black.
Not much. I don't know if you listened to my little diatribe to open the show about Frank Vogel calling a timeout, screaming, and putting Tyler Hansbrough into the game for Roy Hibbert for the last 2.2 seconds of the game. And what happens? What does LeBron James like to do the most? Drive to the basket, make an uncontested layup, no more time on the clock, 103-102, Miami wins. What do you think about that, Black?
You just said uncontested layup. There was no foul on the play, no knocking off of the headband. This is a free layup? Is that what you're telling me?
Free layup. Just like they were starting the game doing layup drills, it was a free layup. Hello. Welcome to the basket, LeBron James. Go ahead and lay it in. You want to win the game? No problem.
Oh, that's crazy.
Did you happen to catch?
Hopefully Stern didn't make that call, but who knows?
Did you happen to see the game or happen to see the highlights that I'm talking about?
I haven't been watching the game because I'm not interested in either series. Memphis Spurs bores me. Indiana Miami bores me. I haven't watched any of the series yet.
Really?
That's crazy for him to get a layup at the last possible second of the game. Nobody fouling. That's inexcusable. You got to put that guy on the line and make him win it from the line.
2.2 seconds. He gets the ball just inside the three-point circle on top of the key, somewhere in the top of the key, on the elbow of the foul line. Paul George overplays him. LeBron James sees he has an open lane going to the basket, and that's what he takes. And what does LeBron James likes to do the most? Drive to the basket. And if you just by chance, and this is why it doesn't make any sense to me. And in hindsight, 2020, he realized, and he did say it in the press conference. Maybe I should have had Hibbert in there. But to me, that's a no-brainer. You get paid millions of dollars. You got up to this point and coached well, and you pull one of the, in my opinion, a stupid-ass call, getting your best center, one of the better centers in the league that can play defense, and you pull him out of the game and count on Paul George to keep LeBron James in front of him and don't have a last line of defense like Roy Hibbert to back him up. I guess
Vogel and Paul George read too much into the Jordan scout report on LeBron. Obviously, it didn't work there at all.
Obviously, it didn't. It didn't make any sense to me, man. I saw the play, and I'm saying you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. How could you actually do that? How could you? I mean, that's got to be one of the most. And these games, this is the playoffs. This Eastern Conference Finals. You got a chance to steal a game in Miami. And you do that. All you had to do was have Roy Hibbert flash to LeBron, and it's going to stop him from a layup, and maybe he tried to shoot a quick jump shot because there's not enough time to really pass it, huh?
At least foul him. I remember old days basketball, the bad boys wouldn't let you get away with a game-winning layup.
That's
the New York Knicks wouldn't let you get away with a game-winning layup.
No, hell no. No, not even.
At least foul.
You're right, Black. He got an uncontested layup. I don't know. It's probably been shown on all the sports channels that cover it, NBA TV, ESPN. They played it.
A lot of guys are putting in stop to what Jordan was saying. If LeBron was going to go left, he's going to go left and stop and pull up a jump shot. If he goes right, he's going to go hard to the hole. I hope they didn't read into too much of Jordan's scout report there. Jordan hasn't played the game in years, so those guys need a better game plan than that.
Well, speaking of that, and speaking of what you just said, this is from yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Yes, yeah, from today. It says that LeBron James thinks Michael Jordan's scouting report on him is wrong, and James keep proving it. As part of an extended interview with ESPN magazine in February, Jordan said he studied James' game and offered his strategy on how he would guard him. And this is a quote from Michael Jordan. So if I had to guard him, I'm going to push him left, so 9 times out of 10 he's going to shoot a jump shot. If he goes right, he's going to the hole, and I can't stop him, so I ain't letting him go right. Quite naturally, that reached James's ear, and simply...
You can't stop him going left either.
Well, this is what... let me go on to this little article, and we'll go from there. That reached James's ear, and simply he doesn't agree. When the days of the story coming out, James won a game by driving to his left and getting to the rim with 3.2 seconds left to beat the Orlando Heat for what then was then the Miami Heat's 16th consecutive victory. James did it again Wednesday night when he drove left as Indiana Pacers guard Paul George seemed to follow the Jordan scouting report to defend James from going right. This time, James got to the rim just ahead of the buzzer to deliver the game winner on his left hand, and quite naturally, like I said, the Heat go up 1-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals. James's quote says that theory is wrong, I guess, being sarcastic quite naturally. I don't know. I mean, if you got a shot to split against the world champs and you want your best players out on the court with the chance to stop any last-second shots from coming from the star players, Chris Bosh or LeBron James or Dwayne Wade. Since you're the center, you control anybody who's coming in the paint, and you definitely won't give them a layup, an uncontested layup. I'm looking at the picture now of an uncontested layup.
In Hibbert's favor, though, even if Hibbert was in the game, there's no telling that he would have been in the post. Because Chris Bosh doesn't post up a lot.
I understand that. But what would you rather have? Would you rather have a Chris Bosh jump shot or a LeBron James jump shot or a LeBron James layup for the last shot?
I'd rather have an LBJ jump shot.
Thank you. Or a Chris Bosh jump shot, a jump shot away from the basket, not an uncontested layup. I'm looking at the picture right now of his uncontested layup with nobody going up to him. And three Pacers looking at him. Bosh is on the right side of the foul lane. So he's watching the shot. He's in between. He's on the outside, in between the Indiana Pacers, who's closest to LeBron James, who just let him go up there and shoot the layup. And Chris Bosh is behind him. So, like I said, it's 2.2 seconds. So it's not really that much time. He gets the ball Paul George overplays him and he goes straight to the basket. Even if he hesitates with a big man in front of him, that is even the percentage of him making a shot goes down dramatically. Dramatically. And it didn't happen. It's uncontested layup. I can't say it enough. And over, I can't say it enough because the fact is it's one of the dumbest coaching moves I've ever seen, and especially when it comes to this, that you would not have your best players out there to contest a shot. Regardless, if you had Paul George, you tell him don't overplay, back up, make LeBron shoot a jump shot. You don't leave that to chance because a lot of things happen with players in tense situations. Some players handle it better than others, and quite naturally, Paul George overplayed LeBron James and gave him an easy avenue to the basket, but you should always have a last line of defense. If you have a center that can do that, you should have him out there, not a Tyler Hansbrough, but a Roy Hibbert, who if anybody who's watching the playoffs, and this is probably one of the few times that I've ever seen this, is that Roy Hibbert blocked a dunk that Carmelo Anthony was trying to do. I can't remember the last time I saw somebody do that without a foul. He didn't foul him and still blocked the shot, a dunk. I don't know if anybody saw that, but I'm pretty sure Jeff probably saw it. And I was
saw
like,
it, but you do know that Carmelo played like the last four or five games with a torn labrum in his shoulder.
In his left shoulder, not his right. So his right was well aware of being able to get up there. So, and he was up there. Roy Hibbert had his hand in between him and in between the ball and the basket, and pushed that ball away. So not today, Carmelo, and quite naturally, Indiana is in the position they were, and could have stole game one. I'm so upset about that.
Wasn't Indiana down 0-2 last year and made the series?
Yeah, but that's last year. You can't count on that last year stuff. This is this year. Miami Heat, in my opinion, are a more cohesive team than last year. So the room for error for any team that's playing for them is even that much smaller. So if you have a shot to beat them, and you had the shot, Paul George hit a shot with less than 3 seconds, 3-something seconds left in the game. They were up by a point. And then the coach decides to panic. He panicked in the wrong situation. He panicked. He overthought the situation when it was basic stuff. Put your best defensive team out there. He didn't do that. I heard the press conference, and he said he was worried about LeBron passing to Chris Bosh and Chris Bosh jump shot, shooting a jump shot. Well, to me, that's BS because the fact is I would rather have somebody shoot a jump shot than have a chance to get a layup. Whether it's LeBron, whether it's Chris Bosh, jump shot is a jump shot. It's a less percentage than it is a layup. So I have to disagree with him. He did say that he should have had Hibbert in there, which is quite naturally hindsight. It's 2020, but it is what it is. You got to move on. The next game is what, on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. And hopefully they can regroup from this, because this is a crushing blow, in my opinion.
Don't kill Indiana just quite yet.
Well, let me put it this way, Black. And the reason I'm saying this is crushing blow. Indiana is a relatively young team. When a coach does this, okay, now I also heard the press interview with Roy Hibbert, and one of the things he did say near the end of the interview that he has full confidence in what the coach is doing. But come the situation again, or when crunch time, if the coach says something questionable to the players or something that doesn't make sense to them, or they may start. This is a young team, so they're relatively really impressionable team. So if the coach pulled this once, they may start to question what the coach is doing in the next game, especially when it really comes to crunch time. If it comes down to something like this near the end of the game, I don't know. I mean, it's a crushing blow because they should have won this game. There's no two ways about it. In my opinion, they should have won this game. I mean, this game was back and forth, and they pulled five points late in the game. One was a three foul shots that were crucial to make, and the other one was a Paul George jump shot that put them up. And then this happens. So that's a crushing blow to a young team. Hopefully they can come back from it, and hopefully they can steal a win, come back and get the win that they barely need when they come and play Saturday. I don't know if you guys want anything to say before we move on, but if you do, just chime in, Jeff or Black, one or the other.
Don't kill Indiana quite yet, man. You got to put that game behind and move on to game two. That game is done. You know, Vogel answered the questions about what happened. You shove that away, you put that in trial draw, put it away, and you get ready to come out for game two, man. You can't show fair against these guys. It was just an unfortunate incident. It was great and they got it to overtime. I understand it was a great, great game. I'm mad I missed it, but I look forward to catching game two.
Jeff.
You know, Hibbert's not the kind of guy who's going to criticize his coach. If you've ever seen an interview with him, he's not that kind of player. He's not that kind of person. I mean, he's friends with Tim Duncan. Duncan has been pretty much a mentor to him. So if you're looking for something, it's not going to come from him. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, if you guys know it or not, I'm pretty sure you guys, they had the lottery, NBA lottery, and Cleveland. I don't know if it was, and this could be a conspiracy theory type of thing, but Cleveland was able to get the number one pick this year. And they... quite naturally, supposedly, they're going to take, and I hate to screw this guy's name up, but it's going to be Noel, what the heck that guy's name?
Nerlens Noel.
There you go. and from what I understand, is he's looking forward to playing with, and I'm really excited because I really like this player. I really, really like this player, and he gets more pieces around him. Cleveland's going to be real exciting. I'm talking about Kyrie Irving. He's a real exciting player. As long as he can stay healthy, because he was a little off and on the court last year, but when he's on the court, he's on. And he's going to be coached by the new coach, the old new coach, I should say, Mike Brown, who they just rehired after firing Byron Scott. So they're going to have this exciting rookie joining Kyrie Irving. What's your thoughts on the Cavaliers, for one, winning the NBA lottery? I'm going to ask Jeff if this was a conspiracy to get the Cavs to be a little relevant again. This new player playing with Kyrie Irving. Jeff, and then Black.
Everything in the NBA is a conspiracy. I mean, everybody knows that. I mean, now, you know what I love? You know, this was brought up recently, and this is very old news. You know, when Michael Jordan was playing, did he ever get traveling called on him? I mean, it was nuts. He would just around half court just start running with the basketball. He didn't even bother trying to dribble.
And you know, I could see why they're reluctant to call a personal foul on him because they don't want him leaving the game. But they should have called traveling on him once in a blue moon just so it wouldn't look like pro wrestling. And you want to talk about a cocky individual. They asked Jordan about that once, and you know what he said? His answer was, so?
Right?
I mean, I don't know what the right answer is, but, you know, he knew they weren't going to make calls on him because if they were, he would have changed the way he played. With Noel, he reminds me of Kyrie Irving because, you know, used to be everybody was talking about these guys coming straight out of high school. Then it was one and done. And Noel and Irvin aren't even one and done. They're like 10 NCAA games and done. I think Irvin played, didn't he play about 10 games and he got hurt? But it was enough to show he had the goods. And I'm not sure how many games Noel played, but he didn't even play a full season last year.
Right.
But he showed it off, and, you know, that's all you got to do.
Okay, hold on a minute here. I think we got another. Black, what do you got to say?
Oh, on Noel?
And him playing with Kyrie Irving.
I think he has to get his weight up. That 205-pound frame was not going to cut in the post of the league, unfortunately. Once I see him get his weight up, I have a better opinion of him. But right now, his athleticism is going to be down because he's coming off of that knee injury. So we'll see what happens with him.
All right. Well, we'll bring in this other caller because I know who he is. Welcome, Macau. How are you tonight?
Sir, how are you? How are you gentlemen doing, Jeff? Black?
What's going on, sir?
Welcome to the show.
All right. We're talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know quite naturally that the NBA had their annual lottery pick, and Cleveland got the first pick. And their odds of getting that pick was a little more than 15%, but they got it over Orlando, who had a 25% chance. What do you think about Noel Nerlens going to Cleveland and playing with Kyrie Irving and also of Cleveland getting the first pick over Orlando, who had a quite substantially better chance of getting the first pick?
Stern's still paying for the decision. That's all that is. That's what it sounds like to me. For taking your talents to South Beach, the NBA commissioner is still paying for that. I really don't care. I really don't. I don't. No, I don't, man, because Cleveland, since LeBron left, they suck. Even while he was there, they suck. They did not assemble a good team around him. The man wanted some help. You know, it's obvious now. You need a band of players around you and whatnot. I got no words. And then, you know, of course, this team that's out here, the Buzzers. Oh my God.
Watch your mouth now.
Oh my God. Oh my God. You gonna stand up for that mob? And then throw eggs at the mob that run the city? Oh, my God.
What you mean? I'm going to stand up for my Wizards all day. What are you talking about?
Oh, my God.
I can't
stand up for them dudes, man. Them dudes is buzzing.
Well, let me ask you this, Macau, since you're talking about your Washington Wizards.
Oh, he's not a Wizards fan.
Huh?
He's not a Wizards fan.
I'm saying that sarcastically, but he lives in the D.C. area, so that's why I'm saying that. They got the third pick, and he's probably going to tell me what he told me about Cleveland, but I'm going to ask him anyway, and then I'm going to ask you other two guys. They got the third pick. Who and what chance of them blowing the pick or getting a good player? Quite naturally, you should get a good player, but what chance of them getting a good player with the third pick, the Washington Wizards?
I hate to answer a question but what difference do it make? They had the third pick last year. I mean, I like the young and they picked up last year. No, don't get me wrong, and I like Wall. But, I mean, what difference do it make? This team sucks. You know, my feelings is involved with this, man. I am very emotional because I'm a Homer McFan boy. You know what I'm saying? I like to represent my area, but I can't claim them dudes, man. I can't claim them dudes. You know what I'm saying? I stopped claiming them after Abe died. Before Abe died, they was my number two team then. Now they just the buzzers. I can't claim them, man. You got dudes carrying guns, shooting up in the jump, doing some stuff. Man, I can't, man. No. Nah. Every year, hey, Jerry, every year, the pundits here in D.C., we have the same conversation about the Wizards. Same conversation, same one. The same question you just asked, same thing. Been the same thing for the past, what, 5 years, 6 years? Same thing. Even when they was winning, they didn't get their picks right. I can't do it.
Okay, Black, before I go to Jeff, your thoughts.
On the third pick?
On the Wizards. Third pick, Wizards.
I have no clue what they'll do. A lot of stuff in the area is going down. A lot of talk about either Otto Porter or the guy Bennett. I haven't seen too much film on Bennett, but a lot of people in the area seem to be high on Bennett. With the third, I just hope that Grunfeld doesn't pick Alex Len. I've seen that talk around, too. I'll take Porter. You know, it's not nothing special, but another solid player to add to the rotation with Bill and Wall. I'll take Bennett, who has a tremendous upside. For a lot of pundits talk about, he could be one of the best players in the draft. So we'll have to see what Grunfeld does. They could package that and try to bring in somebody like a DeMarcus Cousins. So we don't know. I don't know right now what they'll do.
And before I go to Jeff, we are well aware of Ernie Grunfeld and his prowess in picking and running a basketball team because he used to be with the Knicks. Your thoughts on Ernie Grunfeld and being the head man with the Wizards?
You know, I mean, Ernie is from New York. He was a very well-liked player in New York. And usually, I think a role player like Ernie was is more likely to be a successful head coach or executive, you know, because there's been so many Isaiah Thomases and Michael Jordans who really just, for whatever reasons, were not. And you know, I mean, look at Pat Riley, Phil Jackson. Those are role players. Those weren't stars, you know. But Ernie has not distinguished himself as GM of the Wizards, to put it nicely. But, you know, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn once in a while, and third pick is pretty high. I mean, you keep getting those kind of picks. I mean, yeah, he's made some lousy picks, but at least he wasn't the guy who drafted Adam Morrison at number four. That was a real stinker pick. You know, when those kind of names come up this time of year before the NBA draft, But why does Ernie still have a job? That's kind of surprising. Cause, you know, I don't get it. But, you know, there's probably something he's good at. Like, he might be better as a scout, assistant coach, but he really has not distinguished himself as GM.
You know why he still has a job? Because Sesame Street has a new character, and there were no more spaces available for Mr. Ernie.
You really think that, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I wanted to talk about the let me talk about this. And I'm just going to get you guys quick comment or whatever, whatever about the letting go of Vinny DiNegro from the Los Angeles Clippers. And if there is who do you think would be a good candidate to take over that team? I've heard a couple guys, one in particular, but I want your get your guys' thoughts on it. I'll go to Jeff first, and then Black, and then Macau.
I heard about it. I was a little surprised. I mean, it wasn't something I was following closely. Del Negro, there was a guy. I mean, he was a pretty good point guard, when he was a player. He wasn't a superstar. I mean, what did he win, over 50 games? And, when a team has a winning record and makes the playoffs, it makes you wonder why he really got fired. Didn't he get along with the upper management or the ownership? It makes you wonder. I'm not that familiar with Del Negro's personality. I mean, it happens in the NFL. Usually, as soon as the season ends, seven or eight head coaches get the axe, and there's usually one surprise. And I guess that, the Clippers move, that's what that falls under. That was kind of a surprise move, kind of like when Marty Schottenheimer won 14 games with the Chargers and got canned. I mean, that's almost unheard of. I don't really know who's available. I mean, there's probably a lot of assistant coaches and maybe a few college head coaches who are good candidates. But, the thing is, I mean, the Clippers, they have such a horrible, I don't want to call it a tradition, a lack of tradition. And that came up recently. Danny Manning, years ago it looked like they were going to finally emerge as a decent team. He comes back too early from an injury. It was never the same player. And now it looks like they finally have something. If they disappoint next year, then everyone's going to be saying, oh, same old Clippers, And think about it. The way the Lakers are looking with White might be going, Kobe's age and injury, and Steve Nash is, I think, 40 or close to it at this point. Now is the time for the Clippers to be relevant, They can really pick up a big market share at this point, but if they slip, it'll be, same old Clips, Go figure.
Black.
Now is the time for whoever runs the Clippers to give Phil Jackson a call and say, hey, Phil, how would you like to stick your middle finger up to the people that own the Lakers Stadium there and come on and coach these Clippers? That's the call that needs to be made right now. Especially if they can retain Chris Paul and pick up another piece, even though Blake was hurt during the playoffs. But they have a nice nucleus there. I'm looking for Phil Jackson to make some moves down there in Clipper Land.
Macau, talk to me, man.
I'm going to say this like I said it the last time. We talking about the Clippers. Not the Lakers. We talking about the Clippers. Really, Slim? I told y'all the last time. Chris Paul is not going to re-sign with the Clippers. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? It is a nice nucleus, and, it's a nice, warm and fuzzy feel-good story, but it ain't going to happen. We're talking about the Clippers. Not the
Lakers. I understand that.
I understand.
I understand what you're saying.
The whole reason that they have a nucleus is because the NBA commissioner had to cheat to do it. They bungled their way into that, and now they're gonna bungle their way out. They already starting to self-destruct. You gonna fire Del Negro? Really? Really? Who else y'all had? Who else y'all had that was a winner? Really? man, no, man. This team and this organization is just waiting to explode like they normally do. Unfortunately, you know, with the great Jerry Buss being passed on, I don't know if the Lakers management will get back on track. You know, I don't have no faith in the young Buss Jr. I got no faith in him. But I tell you this much, he is at least two steps ahead of the Clippers already. With this move, how you gonna fire Del Negro, man? Really? Come on, man. Get out of here. Get out of here with that nonsense.
Well, supposedly that Del Negro and Chris Paul, I wouldn't say they didn't get along, but I don't think Chris Paul thought too highly of Del Negro. And the one name that's been really been floating around, and two teams are reportedly after this coach, is the Bucks and the Clippers are waiting for the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies to get one way or the other, because they're looking to get Lionel Hollins, believe it or not. It is a hot coach that those two teams are looking to talk to, supposedly. So it is what it is. You guys have any thoughts about Lionel Hollins possibly going to the Clippers? I know, Macau, I'm gonna leave you to last again.
All right.
I'm gonna talk to Jeff and then Black again about Lionel Hollins being a candidate either for the Bucks or the Clippers. Talk to me, Jeff.
Don't know much about it. I do know his name has come up because it seems, you know, every year, late in the year, there's certain names that come up. These are the hot candidates. But the thing is, if his team keeps playing that, and you don't hire him, that sets back your search. It really puts you behind. That's why in the NFL, teams, they fire their coach the day after the regular season is over. And usually the guys who got the inside track on the head coaching job are the ones whose teams didn't go to the playoffs, you know, which would seem odd, but... Because NFL, they want to fill the vacancy ASAP. I guess there's more of a staff to put together, that's why. But I guess they do things a little differently in the NBA.
Black.
Lionel Hollins, I don't know too much about Lionel Hollins. You know, all the hot coaches, whoever lasts during the playoffs will be a hot commodity. I'm still on the Phil Jackson campaign for the Clippers, though.
All right. Well, let's move on, and I'm going to stay in the
you
NBA.
You're going to move on. You're going to move on.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Macau. I kind of knew what you were going to say, but I'm going to let you go. That was my bad. My bad. Go right ahead.
You've been hanging around my cousin too
No,
much,
I wouldn't
I gotta,
do that.
I got to call in the show a little bit more. My bad.
I'm sorry, my man. I'm sorry.
No, Black, that ain't going to happen. Phil ain't going to the Clippers. It ain't going to happen. That's like saying Phil is coming to the Wizards. It won't happen. Sorry.
Oh, no, I don't even want Phil in Washington.
He can keep his
little Western ways on the bench.
It ain't going to happen. But if Lionel was intelligent, As I think he is, I would, you know, try to make a strong push for Memphis. But if Memphis don't want him, you know what I mean, I would go to Milwaukee. I would not touch the Clippers with a 6-foot pole. I think the Clippers need to go ahead and get a college coach or somebody trying to break in to the NBA. That's probably a better look for the Clippers. I don't think their management has the capacity to deal with somebody that's on that, you know, either on that championship level or you know, this hot like Slim. I got more faith in the Bucks than I do the Clippers.
Damn. Okay. Okay. I will stay with the NBA.
But I do think the Clippers are better than the Wizards. I do think that.
Okay. I'm going to stay with the NBA because I just want to throw that out there. But I'm going to stay with the NBA. They just recently came out with the All-NBA first team. And the first team consisted of Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, Chris Paul, Kevin Durant, and LeBron James. The second team was Carmelo Anthony, Blake Griffin, Mark Gasol, Tony Parker, and Russell Westbrook. And the third team is James Harden, Dwayne Wade, David Lee, Paul George, and Dwight Howard. There's a name that is missing, in my opinion, from here, but I find it hard to replace one of the players that are named on the first, second, and third team with him. But
to replace Dwight Howard?
Well, no. The reason I'm saying that, Dwight, if you know that they cover each position, at the center, the point guard, the shooting guard, the power forward, and the small forward in each of these first, second, and third team. So the one player I see that's not in here, before I say it, I want you guys. I've named off the first, second, and third team. Does it sound about right to you, or does some of these players need to change position in either the first, second, or third team, or what about whoever that's not on this team?
Who do you have that's not on the team?
I have a separate
team.
Well,
Curry,
yeah.
Where was he going to be, on the first, second, or third team?
Well, if anything, it'd be on the third team, and like I said, it'd be very hard to find out who would he replace on this team. You know what? In fact, I would think he would replace Paul George on this team, on the third team, if anything. I think Stephon Curry. Yeah, that's true. Paul George is still playing, but this has nothing to do with the NBA NBA first team, second or third team. So I understand what you're saying, but in my opinion, or in your opinion, let me put it this way. Let me ask you this question before I go on: who do you think is the better player, Paul George or Stephon Curry?
That's a good question. I like Paul George's game. I like his game. I like Steph Curry's game, too. But they play two different positions, so I can't really compare the two.
Well, on the third team, you got James Harden, Dwayne Wade, David Lee, Paul George, and Dwight Howard. So I would say Paul George is probably the point guard on that. James Harden sure isn't. Dwayne Wade sure isn't. David Lee? Definitely isn't. Neither is Dwight Howard.
Wade can play point guard. Wade play point guard to Marquette. He still has point guard if they need it.
Yeah, well, all right. Let me put it this way, and I'll go to you, Black. I've named all three of these teams. Is there anybody that shouldn't be on the first, second, or third team, or do they need to swap them between the first, second, and third?
Dwight Howard shouldn't be on any team. Fourth,
fifth,
yeah,
fifth, seventh. Exactly. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I second that. Who was voting in that? Is it the media, the players? Who voted for that?
Bunch of bloggers, probably.
Okay. What about you there, Jeff? What do you think?
You know, Brook Lopez was griping that he wasn't on the team, and you know he might have been more worthy than Dwight.
He was.
Dwight is a interesting character, to put it nicely. You know, I think Orlando was a good situation for him. He's a big fish in a small pond. He's like one of these guys who kind of jerks people around because he doesn't want to hurt their feelings. But then he ends up hurting them more because he jerks everybody around, you know? you guys get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, but don't get me wrong. I mean, the guy's got a lot of talent. I mean, he's been blessed physically. I mean, there's one glaring weakness in his game, but he could do so many other things. And I think that's psychological because they got those really close-ups. And when he's at the line in the big situation, his face is all messed up, you know? I mean, it's something he if he wanted to, he could work on, whether he needs a coach or a hypnosis, a psychiatrist, whatever. But, I mean, it's gotten worse. I think when he started his career, it was bad. Not as bad. It's gotten worse. That's not a good sign. There's even talk. I mean, the Lakers have the advantage if they want to re-sign him, you know, because the way the cap works, they could give him more money. But there's talk that he might go elsewhere because he can't take the pressure of L.A. And he probably thinks, oh, you know, when he went to L.A., he's thinking, oh, the glitz and the glamour and the tradition and whatever. But along with it comes the expectations and the pressure, and he's not cut out for that, you know. And he might be one of these guys, yeah, he wants to win, but it doesn't drive him like Kobe. You're like, Kobe wants to win even if he's playing his grandma and gin rummy. You know, that guy's nuts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you want your star player to be like. And, I mean, I'm not saying that Dwight's a bum, but I think, you know, he just wants to play ball and, you know, hopefully he'll win and be happy and make a few bucks. I don't think he has that same kind of drive as guys like Kobe have, you know.
Well, Joker doesn't want to say it. I'll say it. Dwight Howard is a bum. If he can get Brittany Griner to work out with Kareem, I'm doing with Jabbar. But your big 7 foot cut up
no,
self can't
Eddie
work
Curry
out with Kareem or Hakeem Olajuwon or any of the big guys and learn a damn post game. I mean, dude,
yeah.
He doesn't have a post game at all.
No, he don't. He don't. His game is straight physical. Straight physical. I'm not going to call him a bum, but I will say that he is soft. He is extremely
soft. He's not a bum. He's a slacker. There's a difference.
I don't know if he's a slacker. You know, he's been hitting them weights. You know what I'm saying?
He just wants to look good. That's all.
Yeah, he hit them weights hard, but, you know,
he's a beach bum. I'll put it that way. He's a beach bum.
Yeah, soft. Yeah, he's soft. He is extremely soft. He's got too many psychological issues going on. You know, I'm done with him. I hope that these Bammers just cut bait with him. But I don't think that's what's going to happen because, you know, young Bus need this signing. He needs this signing really bad. And this fool is acting like he about to, you know, go to another team. Where are you going?
All right, so am I going to Houston? Go play with the business one.
Yeah. You talking about you can't take the spotlight, the pressure here? Like you ain't going to get it in Houston. Like, please, don't go to New York because that's all they do. That's all they do is pontificate. Everybody, all the way down to the hot dog vendor, pontificate in New York. And you can't take the heat there in L.A.? Get out of here, man. That dude is soft as a cream puff. And you know what? Another thing, I never considered that Orlando was his team. I never considered it. When they made that championship run, I never considered him as the man there. I never did. I just couldn't see it. I always was looking at the dude Lewis. But he, you know, he just softened up too. It was like both of them dudes was going out together and they both became cream puffs. You know what happened to them dudes, man? You know what happened to them dudes? But I hope they cut bait with him, man. Because I'm going to tell you, this summer's going to be a long, drama-filled summer for the Lakers. Long.
You know what happened to them?
What happened to
them? they had a bucket of Sergio Garcia's fried chicken.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. You know, I told you guys before I wasn't a big Dwight Howard fan, and he hasn't proven me wrong yet. And I was surprised to see him. Even if it's a third team, it's a third team, but even if he was, they put him on. I can't believe they put him on there. You know,
I agree.
I would put Roy Hibbert on a third team over Dwight Howard for the simple fact is he's, in my opinion, he's a big, extremely strong baby. He needs to go to a team like the Wizards
please don't send him here.
Milwaukee.
We don't want him here.
I'm going to tell you right now, if they send him here, look for GSRT to have a Wizards update daily. I would just be going in on that Bama every day.
He's a complete waste. He's supposedly one of the better centers in the league. That's goes to tell you, show you where the center position has gone over the years. When Dwight Howard is the supposedly the best center in basketball right now, which is a sad state for the position of a center. Hopefully, Anthony Davis and Roy Hibbert and guys of that ilk can bring that position up and push Dwight Howard to the side and give it better point of view of people toward the center position. With that being said, we got 3 minutes left in the show. And I'm trying to think out if I have left anything out going into tomorrow. Does anybody have anything out there that they may want to bring up at this point in time before we say goodbye?
I want to tell my partner, Mikhail, don't get too excited, you know. Don't have any chubbies in your pants when you see the RG video from the day. All he was doing was running. That's it. Throwing a little bit of pants.
No, I don't have any. I don't have any chubbies. I'm fine with that. You know, we just don't have any Haynesworth issues going on. No Deion Sanders sightings, or you know, I don't have my owner telling my you know, saying that my quarterback is going to play like Peyton Manning. I'm just happy about that type stuff. You know, they could take a camera to him and let him talk and all that kind of carrying on. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Let us know that we going in the right direction.
Well, hey, you know, Black, I got a question for you here.
Yeah, your
owner's been talking a lot about your quarterback spending more time and being more involved in the play calling. Is that a slap in the face or saying that he hasn't been in the past, that he hasn't really been involved in the offense, and he only goes out there and does what the offensive coordinator / head coach wants him to do, and he doesn't get involved in the offense play calling or the talk to me. Talk to me. What do you think
saying,
about what
he's saying that because he knew Tony Romo had to go get surgery. And that's what he's going to do while he's down. He's going to watch tapes.
Well, I would think that he would have been watching tapes all this time. I mean, it doesn't make sense that he, all of a sudden the owner said that Tony Romo's going to be spending more time getting involved in the offense and being more involved in the play calling. I thought most quarterbacks are involved in the play calling for one and go through with the offensive coordinator what plays they like and what plays they don't like.
Well, you know, Jerry Jones is a rapper. You can't believe these rappers nowadays. There's a lot of foolishness in their videos and things. And Jerry Jones is a rapper, man. best explanation I got for it.
Okay. And Jeff, I'm not going to leave you out. Hakeem Nicks. Victor Cruz are not in OTAs. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't like it, but as long as they get to camp on time, that's the money shot. That's the bottom line. I like that analogy. Jerry Jones is a rapper. I can't imagine him busting rhymes, but, you know, he's got the bling and he talks a lot and whatever. So, yeah, I guess you could say he's a rapper. Yeah.
Okay. With that being said, I want to thank you guys for listening. For you people listening, and on 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time is when we are always on Thursday. The FSP Crew Show consists of me, Jeff the Joker, Black the Bookie, and Macal is a frequent caller in, and we welcome him as always. Tune in tomorrow. I will be the lone wolf tomorrow. Mac will not be there on the No Chaser Show. It's
oh,
me.
No.
Mac will not
call
in. Mac will not be there. He'll be unavailable. So it'll be the No Chaser Show, hosted by me. And you never know what I'm going to talk about. I may not talk about sports tomorrow. I think I'll be talking maybe a little bit politics. You never know. Tune in at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's the place to be. And then on Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, be the FSP show hosted by Vic Gardner, co-hosted by myself, and Mikel also calls in frequently. And then we go to the Sunday show, which is at 10 a.m., the Master Plan, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is where I'll be talking about the past things that have been happening over the past week and going into the following week. And then we have a brand new show. Had a hell of a show last week with Marion Jones as the special guest, talking about Time Out with Sylvia Crawley Milbury. That show is going to be an exciting show. She's going to be bringing some exciting guests. That's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday. Hot new show that we have going. And then we have something going on, I think, Tuesday and Wednesday, which would be Macal. Talk to me.
Yeah, the Grown Soul and Real Talk, the live form. We had a phenomenal relaunch, you know. It was really fun. Check us out. We talk about a lot of different things. The mic is always open. But, hey, if you come on there and you say something, don't think that you won't get challenged. That's all I'm going to say.
That's why they call it what they call it. Grown Soul Real Talk.
Grown Soul and Real Talk.
Mm-hmm.
What are you guys doing for the Memorial Day?
Oh, man, I don't even know, man. I'm going to look for a good cookout to crash.
Yeah, I'm thinking I want to go to Sergio's house.
Anyway, with that being said, I want to thank you guys again for joining me tonight. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy whatever cookout you crash, even if it's your course cookout. Enjoy that. Stay safe. Have fun. And we're out.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.